Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is time for our bracket rundown podcast here on Thursday, February 17th, a little after 10 o'clock p.m. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by
Woohoo!
David Dorman and David Griggs.
Yeah.
Right down below me, John Tytel. To one side of his is Mike Cha, and the other side, coming to us live from the McHale Center in Tucson, Arizona, we have Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org. Rocco, why don't you give us a little talk about what you're doing out there first?
Well, you know, I got lucky. I'm along for the ride. My wife is an alum, just like Tytel and Dorman, and it's alumni weekend for her and her friends, and we'll be here as spectators because I'm not big time enough to get a pass on the game against Oregon, but it should be exciting. They have College Game Day coming on Saturday morning, and there's a lot of buzz. It was sold out against a terrible Oregon State team, so I can't imagine what Saturday is going to be like.
Okay. If any players, coaches, you know, anybody walks by, just grab them. We'll stop and bring them on, all right?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Tommy was right over there, so we might bring him on.
Yeah. Rocco, just to clarify, like when you told them that you were with Hoops HD, they said you can come in, but you have to wait till the game is over, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, yeah.
Bracketeer.org, at least got to go for the game. For Hoops HD, they didn't even live in the building.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome.
This is a bracket rundown show, and let me pull up the screen share here and kind of explain what we are doing tonight for those that are unfamiliar with it. This is a blank bracket. What I've did is I asked each of our panelists, as well as our good friend John Slica, who couldn't make it on the show tonight, to each submit a 1 through 55 seed list. That is a list of their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I put all those lists together, kind of cross-country scored them like you would like a top 25 ballot, and came up with a consensus seed list of all the teams through the end of the at-large field, as well as the top, looks like about 10 teams out that also received votes from various people. So with those combined consensus lists, we built a bracket, and we're going to reveal a kind of Selection Sunday style here what the consensus bracket is as of right now, and kind of have each person kind of comment and debate and talk about teams that they think are absolutely misseeded based on how things came out here. At the very end of the show, the 13 through 16 lines, all the auto bids, I filled them in myself. Doesn't mean we don't love those teams, but we're not going to spend too much time on those teams tonight.
Yeah, we spent time on them last night.
On Under the Radar, you can hear lots about them if you go back to our Under the Radar podcast. I'm going to start with the first four seed lines.
Before we get started, Chad, real quick, not all of us are necessarily trying to guess what the actual committee is going to do. We're sort of acting as if we are the committee. Verbiage that you may hear, protected seed, first ballot team, inside the bubble, outside the bubble, that's pretty self-explanatory, but a protected seed, it's teams 1 through 16, the top four lines. Everybody, first ballot, it's basically the top half of the bracket, inside the bubble, close but in, outside the bubble, close but out. And the other thing I wanted to say is that this would have been a better show had you just used my seed list.
I can't get the button to stop now, Griggs. Look at that. Okay. One last point. These ballots were submitted as of sometime earlier today, which basically means that today's games were not really considered for them. The most notable one today was Michigan's win at Iowa that we just saw. That was not factored in here. But when we get to those teams, if we get to those teams, we can discuss how that game might affect it. Some other games going on this evening, including San Francisco St. Mary's, UCLA, USC, Houston, Creighton, Oregon, among the teams playing right now as we record this, obviously not factored in. If any of those games go final and there's an upset, we can discuss that as well. But let's, without any further ado, let's get to the number one team. It was not unanimous, but it ended up being the team that's also number one in both polls. Tytel, let me start with you. The Zags, deservedly number one in our consensus here, or not?
You can make an argument for Auburn, but I think they deserve it due to the body of work and due to the fact that Auburn has lost in the past 2 months and Gonzaga hasn't.
Yeah, here's Gonzaga and Auburn's profiles. In fact, I had a feeling we'd be discussing these guys at the top of the show. Dorman, let me ask you as well. Gonzaga versus Auburn. There, I think it was like of 4-3 or something like that in the votes. It was very close between these two.
I went Gonzaga before Auburn, but it's really tight. It's really close. I love Auburn's team. I love their body of work. Their schedule is tougher, no doubt. They're tested more in conference. I lean Zog at the very end, but it's tight as can be.
Yeah, I went back and forth too. I just wanted to share that the deal breaker with me was the common opponent, Auburn winning at Alabama and Gonzaga losing to them on a mostly not home court, but neutral. Like as close as it was, I think that that's what tipped it toward Auburn for me, but it's so close that I don't think it's outrageous that Gonzaga is the overall number one. And I'm almost certain that's who the committee would have up there.
Yeah. And I don't think it's any surprise that Auburn ended up number two on this overall seed list. But I think maybe what we do need to do is go straight out to number three beyond them.
Can I say something?
Absolutely, Mike. I was about to ask you.
Charles Barkley strongly thinks that Auburn should be the overall number one seed.
Really? Yeah. And he thinks Alabama's not even in the field too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rocco, you're there. They got number three overall, the Arizona Wildcats.
You guys got a one seed.
I mean, the janitors are pretty fired up here. Let me tell you, Chad.
Wow.
But your thoughts on this team?
Yes, well deserved. I mean, Arizona, it's really hard to find very much wrong. You know, both their losses are in the first quadrant. They just keep stacking up quad two and three wins throughout the Pac-12 with an occasional quad one. They'll have Oregon, a team that's somebody we'll probably discuss at length when we get to the bubble picture, coming here on Saturday, as I mentioned. But they're number two in the net. They're number two strength of resume, and they're number two in all the predictive metrics. So they do have a case maybe to even get to number two if Auburn falls again. So Arizona's well positioned right now at a safe number three, I would say, overall.
Yeah, actually, there's a number on the screen here, the OAR. What that is an average of all metrics. They're actually number one in that because Gonzaga has some weaker resume metrics. Auburn has some weaker predictive metrics. So if you went by that, you wanted to average all the metrics, Arizona should be number one overall here. That's going to be a hard case to make because they just don't have that huge, huge, huge win at the top of the profile like Auburn and the Zags have, I think.
Correct.
Mike, number four overall. This was definitely not unanimous, but the Jayhawks got in there. And so what does your cat think about that?
well, cats don't like birds, so she's not too happy. I mean, she would prefer Kentucky because they're wild cats. She doesn't like birds, you know. Cats don't like birds. But anyway, I had Kansas, and I explained it actually in my email that I know Kentucky has the head-to-head win on the road to Kansas, but I think overall Kansas has the better profile.
Yeah, and was an interesting debate because, Griggs, I know you went with Kentucky on this line and another team also, which nobody else voted for, but a couple people agreed with you on Kentucky at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, the loss at Tennessee, especially it being as decisive as it kind of was and as poorly as they played, especially in offense, if you're a recency biased person, I can see that. But, I mean, head-to-head, they won at Kansas. They won at Alabama. When you look at what they've done in true road games, Kentucky has beaten easily a protected seed, one that you all just put on the one line, and they've beaten an Alabama team that if they're not protected, they're very close. And Kansas has not beaten anyone on the road in a true road game that is going to be in the top half of the bracket. And to me, the one line, one of the boxes that I really want to see a team check is, can you beat another protected seed on the road? And Kansas hasn't.
Well, Tytel, on the other hand, Kansas has 14 wins in the top two quads, Kentucky only nine. That's a big difference, isn't it?
It is, which is why I have the Jayhawks ahead of them. But again, I think it's a coin flip. And the good news for Kentucky is they have the next three games against tier 1A opponents. So if they sweep them, I assure you that they'll be ranking in the one seed column very soon.
Kansas has that game at Baylor, too, which could give Griggs the win that he's looking for. So,
yeah.
If I'm Kentucky, I'm more worried about Ty Washington's health than a one or two seed here. He is the stir that stirs that drink. He is everything to Kentucky. If they don't have Ty Washington, I don't care what seed they are, they're in trouble. They need him.
Good point.
Kentucky did come in at number five overall. I don't think it's any surprise there. They are the first of our two seeds, potential regional final against Arizona in a all Wildcats battle there. But Let's just keep running right along here to the number six team overall. Coming in at number six was, let's see, where it is, Purdue over there in the East region. Rocco, do you think we got that Purdue belongs up the, is up that high?
I'm okay with it. I think Purdue and Baylor are next. You know, not to spoil number seven, but I would probably have Baylor just above. I had Baylor actually as my fourth one seed on Monday. Of course, they went to Lubbock and got beat up, and they're a different team for now, at least in the interim, without JTT till they make the adjustments. The freshman bigs have to step up to maintain this level of caliber, but obviously well coached, and they've earned a lot this year. They've got a lot of good wins, and resume wise they've done more than even Kentucky has. So I would have them slightly above Purdue, but Purdue might have a better trajectory going forward.
Yeah, I actually had Purdue on my one line. And again, the one thing that I focused in on was that true road win at Illinois, better than any true road wins that Kansas has. And this is, again, why we should have just used my seed list, Jeff.
Okay. We have Kentucky Purdue starting up the two line. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't reach for the buzzer quick enough there. At number seven overall, Dorman, was Baylor. And I asked you about them, Dorman, because you thought Baylor was down on the three line. And I wanted to give you a chance to defend yourself there. Was it just because they lost, you know, they're just coming off a loss? Or was there another reason why all those tier one road wins wasn't good enough for a two seed for you?
I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Power forward big man Chachia is a humongous loss for Baylor. Right. Last night, he might not score the most points, but he is their defensive presence and rebounder down low. He plays incredible defense, and he's just that intense emotional leader they love to have on the floor. Without him, they lose a little of their heart and soul. So I'm a little concerned. And yeah, Texas Tech has taken them down twice. I had Duke ahead of Baylor.
Okay. You had Duke ahead of Baylor. Well, interestingly enough, Duke did not run even make it to our two line.
Wow.
Running at our two line was actually the team that just beat Baylor, Texas Tech. And Rocco, I know you did not agree with that. I think you had Texas Tech a little bit lower, but what about Texas Tech coming off of the sweep of Baylor?
Yeah, they got the sweep of Baylor. The neutral win over Tennessee now looks like even stronger after Tennessee blew out Kentucky on their home floor. But it's a nice win. Texas Tech's collected four, I think, quad 1A wins at this point. I think the problem I have overall with Texas Tech is what they've done away from home. Obviously, the road win at Baylor is a great thing to anchor with. But the overall body of work, not as strong. 2-5 against the top two quadrants away from home. 4-6 total away from home, including neutral games. And for me, if you're going to be a top two seed, you at least got to go 500 away from home compared to the other options that are out there today.
Okay. Tytel, do you agree with him? Did he make a good point about Texas Tech?
He does. I think that they deserve some credit for their losses, actually. They lost to Gonzaga without Shannon. They lost at Iowa State without McCullough and Shannon, the duo. And losing at Providence and at Kansas is certainly nothing bad. I think that the sweep is also, it's one thing to have the head-to-head with Kansas, Kentucky playing once. When you sweep a team, I think that's a good argument to put the sweeper above the sweepy.
Okay. Let's keep rolling along here. Let's start bringing up the three seeds. Mike, starting off the three line at our number nine team overall, let's see, they're out of the East region. There is the Duke team that we previously mentioned. Do you agree with that Duke belongs up here, even though they're playing in a much weaker ACC than we normally see?
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, personally, I had them as the 11th overall, but I don't have a problem being the top three seed. They've got a rock solid resume, 9-3 against the top two quadrants. They've got neutral court wins over Gonzaga and Kentucky. You know, Gonzaga is an overall number one seed. Kentucky could be a debatable number one seed. So when you have two neutral court wins against the top four, top five teams, I mean, that's a job well done.
Yeah, you're looking at a pair of 1-point losses to Florida State and Virginia, who are probably not going to be in this field tonight. That is the only thing that's keeping them from being higher than this, I think, at the end of the day. But Tytel, let me go deep back to you here as a pull up number 10 overall. Beyond Duke, also on the three line here, is Providence. You think this is right for them?
I think a week ago it was. Now I think that they're not even the best team in the Big East, but I know that's up for discussion.
Okay, well, who do you think is the best team in the Big East? Assume the team that just beat them, correct?
I want the all Wildcat Midwest region. Please give me Villanova. That'd be awesome.
Providence still came in over Villanova. Grace, do you agree that Providence still belongs over Villanova after losing to them?
I don't think so. No, I had them. Did I like? Actually, yeah. I mean. They did lose at home, but when you look at Connecticut, at Wisconsin, and I know that those losses have asterisks next to them, it's kind of a coin flip. I just like Providence a little bit more. I think their merit metrics are a little bit better. So I went with Providence, but if you ask me who would I pick to win, well, Nova just beat them in Providence. So I can go either way.
Well, they'll get a chance again in Villanova in Philadelphia on March 5th. Rocco, do you at some point you have to ding Villanova, though, for twice as many losses, including twice to Marquette?
I mean, yeah, Marquette's a team that figured Villanova out. Credit to Shaka Smart and the team there. But, Villanova, or any team, not just Villanova, you got to look at what they've done the entire year. There's a cluster of results that we're in February now. We don't have to zero in so far, in my opinion. I think you're talking about a Villanova team that's got 8 wins against the field. That's tied for the most out of anybody on the board. They got a road win at Providence, a road win at Seton Hall, a road win at Xavier, a neutral win against Tennessee, and everything else is starting to balance out the rest of the way. And they got a really strong road record. I think it's deserving of the last 2 seed personally. So I'm probably a little higher on Villanova than most.
Right. We still don't even have them at number 10 overall. Let's take a look at number 11 overall, see if they even made it there. And in fact, they did, number 11 overall, back-to-back with Providence. Again, this is by the consensus. I think that if we were arguing these one team at a time, there'd be a strong argument to at least flip these two teams, given the head-to-head right there. But number 12 overall, the last of our 3 seeds. Dorman, let me bring you back in here for this team. We ended up with Wisconsin. Here's our second Big Ten team, and it is the Badgers, who just are coming off of a home loss to Rutgers. Do you agree with this pick?
Yes, a home loss to Rutgers, but then a nice win on the road in Assembly Hall in Bloomington the other night. They were down the whole game, really played fantastic. Davis game really came through big time in the last 3 minutes in Wisconsin. Outscored Indiana about 10-0 in the last few minutes, got away with the win in Assembly Hall. I have no problem with Wisconsin here. I still believe UCLA in my pecking order goes first, but I really have no – I wouldn't veto Wisconsin at this point.
Yeah, they do have the wins over Houston at Purdue. Houston St. Mary's neutral at Purdue, at Michigan State, at Indiana, at Northwestern. There's a lot of – so much good there on Wisconsin's profile. And absolutely no bad losses because everything was a quad one or better loss, as you can see. We just ignore that tier two. that is not a tier two loss.
How is that tier two?
Yeah.
Chad, thanks to your Rutgers, now a loss to them at their place is a tier one loss, not tier two anymore.
That's right on the cut line.
It's
I mean, I liked Rutgers more than that, but then when I saw that they were tier two, well, I had to move them down.
Well, Rutgers, being it was a home game, Rutgers would have to be in the top 30 of the net for that to become a tier one loss for Wisconsin. So that's why it's clearly tier two right now with Rutgers, based on Rutgers net. Let's move into the four line, though, number 13 overall. Tytel, we've got, let's see where they are. They are UCLA, the team we were just mentioning. So everyone we're mentioning is coming in right after we mentioned them. So your thoughts on UCLA getting in here as the second Pac-12 team?
Do you think I'm picking somebody who loses in triple overtime to the Sun Devils this high? You are crazy. I would go with Tennessee. I mean, it's one thing to beat Arizona and LSU, but to beat Kentucky pretty handily, I think, like, that's a pretty nice resume in my mind in terms of the upper tier one.
Yeah, my notes here say, Mike, you would agree with him, actually. You didn't have UCLA on the four line. You would have had them down a line lower.
Yeah, I'm more along with John. I think UCLA's resume for a 4 seed isn't strong enough. And then the loss to Arizona State doesn't help.
Is that the ultimate disqualifier?
For me, yes.
So Rutgers lost to Lafayette. I guess they're out next of next year's tournament too.
But when you're nitpicking, you know, every loss does matter. I mean, when you're
Tennessee, like Tytel refuses to put teams in his bracket that have lost to Arizona State.
No, I put Creighton in. It just took me a long time to accept.
Tennessee, who
Tennessee has no losses outside quad.
Yeah, they haven't. They haven't lost to Arizona State. So, let's bring them in.
They beat Arizona.
Yeah. Tennessee has no losses in 1B. Even all their losses are in the 1A tier.
Tennessee's losses are very, very respectable. UCLA does have a couple bad losses, but Tennessee did come in at the very next spot there, as I just brought up. But why don't we keep rolling right here onto number 15 overall? We're getting near the end of the protected seeds. Rocco, we had coming in Illinois here, getting to go to Buffalo in a potential potential regional semifinal with Auburn. Another Big Ten team. Are you there on the Illini? Who are again coming off of a loss to Rutgers? Did I just say that a lot ago?
Well, I'm pretty sure every Big Ten tournament team has lost to Rutgers except Indiana, only because Indiana hasn't played them. But Illinois is a team that won at Indiana. They won at Iowa. Pretty good road wins, 6 wins against the field. I think they belong in the top 16. I have them 16th overall, but 15, 16, that's fine. I'm definitely good with it.
All right, and Dorman, to finish out our top 16 teams here, our last of our 4 seeds, Arizona's potential regional semifinal opponent is the Texas Longhorns. Are you there? Do you agree with that?
I am not. I have Alabama ahead of Texas in my pecking order.
Okay, you want to tell us why?
Hold
up for you.
Go ahead. Alabama, to me, out of conference, did more. The Gonzaga win.
Certainly. My mind has been changed. Look at that.
UTRGV. Okay, there's the real Texas team.
But they both played Gonzaga, so it wasn't like Texas didn't have the chance. So that's why I brought it up. So if I'm going to pick hairs and it's tight, I like Alabama's resume more. The Missouri and Georgia lost their SEC road games. It doesn't take me off of Alabama to be on the protected seed line. I just feel they've done more work, especially in the tier one, than Texas has.
Yeah, four wins against top 10 net teams is definitely worth talking about, but you can't.
They got six in the top 30.
Yeah. Griggs, go ahead. You had a comment? Well,
more on the road would be nice, but yeah.
Okay. Now we've got our top 16 teams out here, Alabama being the team that apparently we left out from what we've heard so far. I'm going to go one full seed line at a time here. So I'm going to start by showing all the 5 seeds. These are potential second-round opponents for those 4 seeds. The 5 seeds that we came up with are Houston, Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan State. Mike, what do you think? We've got 2 more Big Ten teams in here. We're dropping Big Ten teams like crazy. And by the way, Ohio State and Michigan State both coming off of losses to Rutgers.
I'm not crazy about Houston at the 5 line. I mean,
thank you, Mike.
It's lacking in quality wins. They had back-to-back losses, and I had Houston more along the 6 line. But the other 5 seeds, I don't have a problem with.
I'm with you on that one, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tytel, what do you think, Houston? I mean, they've done nothing too bad, but nothing too good.
Well, I'll defer to Rocco when it comes to injuries, because when you have like a 7-man rotation because you were down 2 key guys, I think the committee gives you a break. But Rocco, I believe that since those guys are not coming back next month, to the best of my knowledge, then maybe they don't get credit for the injuries, correct?
I think you got to evaluate them, and I think the committee would say the same thing based on what team they're going to field during the tournament. And I would also say, just as a whole, there's been so many issues with injuries and COVID and guys being out for weeks at a time this year. If you're not talking about like a protected seed or a 1 seed or a last 4 in, last 4 out situation, I think they're just going to go straight off of what you've done in general, because it's all about getting the right 36 at large teams. So that's what I would just say to like this part of the bracket.
And the one thing I would note is from what I've heard, Trayvon Mark, at least there is an outside chance he could be back, but my understanding is he's really not close at this point. But
yeah,
and Rocco, we need to interview with the guy behind you real quick.
Yeah, the guy on next week. Ask him what he thinks of Houston on the 5-1.
There's a lot of spilt, you know, Jack Daniels from Tytel's days here. They're still working on that. It's gonna be a late night.
Yeah. So, the one thing that bothers me about Houston is they have something on their resume that they didn't have before, and that's losses to teams outside the bubble or probably outside the bubble. When they had none of those, it was a lot easier for me to say, okay, they should be a protected seed. The only reason their profile isn't better, it's because it's a reflection of their circumstance, not them. I can't really say that anymore.
They've had four games in the net top 50, and they're 0-4. It's hard to put them so high.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the six seeds. These are the teams that they did.
Why we should have used
over
my seed list.
Over here. Mike, we had UConn, LSU, Arkansas, and Marquette coming in here on the sixth line.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Well. When I think Houston's overseeded, that means someone else is underseeded, and I think UConn's underseeded.
You would go with UConn as a team to move up. Tytel, do you think UConn should be the best team on this line that maybe should have moved up here?
I would have before they lost at Xavier. Not that that's a terrible loss, although it's looking more like a terrible loss the way Xavier's been playing. I'm actually a little surprised. Well, I'm not surprised there's not more USC love.
Just stab Stalika in the back while he's not here.
Happy to. It's not been Cincinnati's month, has it, Griggs?
Nope. But
USC with a huge win over UCLA, it seems like they have finally figured things out. And I heard Isaiah Mobley's coming back from his broken nose this weekend. Maybe that could affect things. We'll see.
I heard he was actually questionable. He was probable for tonight from what I heard, actually. So he might be playing this evening. So we'll find out. The game has not yet tipped as we record this. Still, it's a late game tonight. But Dorman, what are your thoughts on these other three teams here? LSU, Arkansas, Marquette even. Again, if everyone's yelling Houston, we overseeded, you got to bring somebody up, don't you?
I would have brought up Marquette. I like their resume the best, but basically that six seed line was exactly what I had. I just didn't have Houston there. So I'm pretty good with the six line. I think it's a strong group.
Okay. Yeah. Marquette, a team that was going towards the protected seed not that long ago, but now you got to look at the number of losses, Griggs. It's up to 9 losses, and that's a lot of losses to be.
It is up to 9. Seed. I had them as number 16 overall, which I'm imagining is higher than everybody else. The wins against Villanova. I think the road win at Seton Hall is really good. But let's look at their losses at UConn, at Wisconsin. I just think you almost have to throw UConn, Wisconsin, and Providence out, because not even protected seeds beat protected seeds on the road. I mean, if you have 9 losses, those are 3 losses that even teams on the 1 line might have.
But Griggs, here's my problem. You can't throw them out if you're going to lose to Creighton, St. Bonaventure, and at Butler.
Well, you don't throw those out, but then now they only have 6 losses.
So that means we get to throw away Lafayette and UMass for Rutgers, and they should be in the
field
already.
No, those are not losses that protected seeds would probably lose. And I don't want to throw them out, but I mean, is there anybody seated on the 4 line or higher that you would have expected to win even one of those games?
Yes.
Well, maybe, okay. Maybe
I expect anybody seated on the 4 line or higher to win one of those 3 games if you played all 3 of those.
I misspoke. The 4 line.
All right. Let's keep going on here. Rocco, the 7 seeds. Let me bring you back in. I think they're coming here. We have Colorado State, USC, who Tytel just mentioned, Xavier, and St. Mary's. Do you like that, especially USC, who has now 1 notable win, at least on their profile?
Yeah, they do have 1 notable win. I'm mostly good with it. I think Colorado State just picked up an awesome Super Bowl win at Boise right before kickoff. And
the Rams.
One of the only teams to win at Boise, the first team to win at Boise since they got hot. St. Louis won there in December. And Bakersfield did too. But yeah, so you know, the Rams can have that spot, in my opinion. I'm a little higher on rewarding Murray State, mainly because if the way I'm looking at it is if Murray State wins the Ohio Valley, I don't want to put them in an 8-9 game. I want to get them up to a 7. I think they deserve that. So I'm kind of focused on that for them until they fall. If they don't fall, I think they need to be a 7.
Wow, really? That would be amazing.
Yeah, there are those profiles. Honestly, without the UCLA win, I think that Murray State has a better profile, but that's a
yeah, and without the East Tennessee State loss, that I mean, Murray State might be in the 7 range. I thought I had Murray State high. Wow.
Well, they got Belmont coming up next week too, so that'll be another one. Yeah.
Tito, what about Xavier on this line here? Because Xavier fans right now think the team doesn't even belong in the field.
Oh, they're in the field.
Xavier Twitter is amazing. Oh, go look at it. It's incredible.
Beating Ohio State is a signature win. Sweeping Creighton, beating UConn. Like, they have a lot of good meat on the bone, but they also have a bunch of losses. And even though the early one to Iowa State was without Fremantle, like, they did get swept by Villanova. They did lose to the rest of the Big East. Like, I understand there's nerves, but they're going to make it.
Wait, you say they literally lost the rest of the Big East. They lost at home to St. John's and DePaul. That is the bottom of the Big East at home. You can't get worse than those two losses.
No, you can get worse than the Big East, Chad, I assure you.
Georgetown doesn't count. Griggs, real quickly, St. Mary's are the right there. You thought they belonged in a 7-10 game, but it's a 10 seed, not a 7.
Yeah. I just don't see. I the win at San Francisco is really good, but that's really all I see here. And you start to,
How about the Notre Dame and the Oregon neutral court wins? They're not in tier one, but those are solid wins.
They are, but I didn't really have Oregon or Notre Dame all that high. Well, yeah, I had Oregon on the 9 line, but not really Notre Dame.
We're going to get to where you had Oregon here in a minute, because it was incredibly stupid, but we're not quite at that point yet, Griggs.
I just don't think they top out high enough. I mean, compared to the other team, like, I mean, I don't think any of these teams particularly top out high. There's one that I hate to admit it, that I think we glaringly missed on this line based on how they've been playing.
Who?
Rutgers.
Well, let's take a look at the 8 line here. And I'm not going to complain if you mention Rutgers. And here are our 8 seeds. It does not include Rutgers.
You get an A plus for your you gave John an A plus because they're Rutgers.
There we go. We got anyway. The Murray State team that Rocco mentioned did come in our 8 line, along with Seton Hall, Boise State, and Wyoming. So there is, you know, we're loading up on these Mountain West teams. Tytel, you agree with us that all these Mountain West teams belong in at this point?
They've earned it, I think. I mean, it sucks that their reward is that they get to face like a number one seed. Although I got to tell you, like, the last team in America I want to see in March is Murray State, just because they might never lose again.
you know, Seton Hall, Dorman, you think Seton Hall is right here? We got Seton Hall right here, because the Hall is kind of turning things around a little bit after they were really falling down for a while.
The free fall has ended. Correct. I agree with that, Jeb. There's some losses there at DePaul and home to St. John's. It really shouldn't be. But this is where I had Seton Hall. I think they deserve this line. They need to win. They got to beat DePaul and Butler at home. At Xavier is going to be a big one. Their schedule down the stretch is very doable. They should be able to come away with 4 out of these 5. And I think they'll be right here, a seed better.
They have 3 fairly easy home games. One extremely easy home game, especially in there.
3.
Let's go ahead and start reveal the 9 seeds. We're finally going to get some first-round matchups here, potential first-round matchups. Here are our 9 seeds coming in. First of all, in the West region, Boise State gets Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Seton Hall gets Iowa. Murray State gets TCU. And Wyoming gets Miami.
Is everyone aware that Rutgers has more wins?
Iowa State, right?
Iowa State. I'm sorry, I said Iowa. Virtually anybody we've...
Okay, it was Iowa State, not Iowa. And I think I want to start with this Iowa State team, because I'll tell you, I had Iowa State rated higher than anybody. I had them up a couple of seed lines higher. And Tytel, I know a week ago, I think you had them a little higher than this also, than the 9 line. How can you argue with all those tier one wins? I get that they're 4-9 in conference, but that tier one is so good for Iowa State, is it not?
It's fantastic. And if it was just based on tier one, I couldn't agree with you more. But I think that having a couple of tier two losses not on the road is going to hurt. Non-conference strength of schedule is terrible. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I think there's more to life than tier one.
Well, Rocco, let me ask you about strength of schedule. Not Iowa State, 235 non-conference strength of schedule. When you add in the Big 12, they're 15th in the nation. How do you think the committee's going to treat that?
I think at this part of the seed list, it's not as important. I think they're looking heavier at the OAR, as you have beautifully put together here on the workbook. You know, some of these oars, you know, they're like a crew team, very powerful oars. The other ones are like little kayaks and canoes. And unfortunately for Iowa State, they're more on the canoe side of the fence right now with a 38 oar. And I honestly think just based on last year's bracket alone, this like six, maybe even five seed through 10 range, all of it is very oar heavy. And as long as you're in the bracket, they're going to, I'm just thinking about Missouri last year. I'm thinking about Wisconsin last year. I'm thinking about LSU last year, all got terrible seeds, even though they had great resumes. I see Iowa State right in that bucket.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go ahead and Griggs, real quick, TCU here as well. You like them a lot better than this line. Similar to Iowa State, though, I think, when you look at the resume.
Well, yeah, we'll pull it up. Yeah, I mean, it's similar, at least in Tier 1. But, you know, they've won at Oklahoma. They've won at Iowa State. So there's that. Granted, I think Iowa State won there as well. But in one of the things against the common opponents, their conference record's a little better. But I had TCU, yeah, quite a bit higher. Right. And they don't have the losses.
Let's go to the 10 line here. And although they could have been a few lines higher, we do see my Rutgers Scarlet Knights making the field as a 10 seed here, getting a game against Colorado State. Creighton gets USC. Iowa gets in against Xavier. And one of those matchups, Rocco, that I know we hate, St. Mary's versus Loyola Chicago. We end up with two of those non-power conference teams playing each other in the first round. We want to see a rule that bars that from happening, but it doesn't exist.
That'd be a great game.
Rocco, I want to start with Iowa with you this time, because you had Iowa rated several seed lines higher. And again, this was before they lost today to Michigan. Right. Now we have the Michigan loss in as well. But where's the meat on this profile?
Yeah, there's not a ton. I mean, honestly, there's you're looking at an Iowa team that doesn't have a win away from home against a team in the field. That's very concerning. They're now 500 against the top three quadrants. They're four and eight against the top two quadrants. So, yeah, there's a lot of risk going on. The 255 non-conference strength schedule was the last time I charted it. I'm sure it's similar now. Losing record away from home. I think they're on a slippery slope. I think where Iowa clearly has an edge for seeding, which is why I had them higher, is going into today, they had a averaged out predictive metric between 18 and 19. I think it was 18 and a third, which is extremely high. Like, it represents a five seed. The resume metrics represent like out of the tournament. So if they're going to get in, I feel like their seed will be good. But at this point, they're on a slippery slope towards maybe not even getting selected.
Chad, can you do me a favor? Could you pull up Iowa's profile?
It is on the other screen.
Oh, okay. I don't think anybody else can see it, nor have they seen Iowa play if we're putting them in. This is...
Okay. Tytel, you know I got to call you out on this. You did not like my Rutgers Scarlet Knights at all when you gave me your seed list. You want to defend why six tier one wins is not deserving of being up here? At least on the 10
I thought we already played this game with Iowa State. There's more to life than tier one, Chad. I can't knock them because, as you said, every single Big Ten team is coming off a loss to Rutgers. So they deserve a lot of credit. And if they keep going this way, they're probably going to end up as a 9 or 10 seed or something. I'm just saying that not a lot of teams in our field so far have lost at UMass or to Lafayette, correct?
Will the committee factor in, though, the fact that these were losses back in November? And I get that last 10 is not on the team sheet anymore, but I don't think there's anybody in the nation right now that wants to play Rutgers in the first or second round.
You are right, but that's not the question you asked, I thought, which do they deserve to be this high? And I understand if I'm on an island, like, I'm not going to veto it, but I just don't think they're there yet.
I just look at this team as one of those teams that it's hard to get them in with those bad losses, but once they get in, it's kind of Rocco, your thing. Once you get them in, don't they skyrocket up the seed list?
Yeah, unless they're in the first four. You know, yeah. The first four is kind of its own thing. You don't know what to do with them, send them to Dayton. But if they agree that they're not one of the first four, then I think they climb up, like you said.
And when you look at what they have left, if they go to Purdue and win this weekend, I think it's going to look really good on their resume.
That'd be a decent little win.
That would fill a gaping hole that we just saw.
Yeah.
They do have a road win at Wisconsin.
Rutgers is on fire. Oh my goodness! And the thing is,
I'm not looking forward to next Wednesday. I'll say this: it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Nope. Tytel and I are not in the same spot right now. I bet we are at the end of the year because they'll either keep winning at the clip they have been, and he'll come around, or they won't, and I'll be like, "Yeah, he was right. That was just." So anyway,
okay, let's go on to the 11 seeds here. The matchups on the 11 line: UConn gets San Francisco, LSU gets Davidson, Arkansas gets Wake Forest, and Marquette gets Indiana. One quick note here: Davidson actually should have been a line higher, should have been a 10 seed. Creighton should have been an 11 seed. There was a bracketing problem in that Creighton, by the bracketing rules, could not go to any of the four regions on the 11 line, so they got to move up a seed line because there's a Big East team in either the 6 or the 3 slot on all four brackets. So just a minor point. We actually had Davidson ranked slightly higher. It just had to be a switch there between those two teams. But
Number 41, or was Davidson number 40? Is that why you moved them down?
Yeah, it was a one team swap. That's why I moved Davidson down and created up a line. But what about this Wake Forest team, actually? Mike, you thought Wake Forest did not belong in the field, and I think other people did as well.
Good call, Mike.
Yeah, I'm pulling up their profile, but who have they beaten? I mean, I'm not enamored. Okay, they have a road win at Virginia Tech, so technically that's a tier one win, but they haven't beaten anybody in the field. Or at least I don't see it.
Well, why don't you ask Rocco that question? He'd have number 33 overall.
They have a gaudy, they have a great net ranking. They have a gaudy one loss record, but they haven't beaten anybody in the field. And I just see their profile, and it's just blah. It's like, ugh.
At least they've done something. It's hard to win at Virginia Tech. They've done a little something.
Yeah, I gave them credit for, because I think I had Virginia sixth out on Monday, and they won at Virginia, a team that just won at Duke last week, albeit on a buzzer beater. They do have a nice collection of four road wins that matter. That's a nice cluster when you start to look at the bubble. Obviously, the huge black eye is that 334 out of conference schedule, not doing them any favors. And it's kind of like things I've said in previous years about that, where you got to get them pretty high in, especially since their metrics measure out as a 9 seed right now. They're averaging about a 36, I believe, there. And, you know, they're a 20-plus win team that, you know, they've won a lot of ACC games, which isn't saying much this year, but it's still not an easy league to do that in. And if you're going to put them in, I think you got to seed them pretty well. But I agree with those of you who say they're out, because then if you average my opinion and your opinion, we're probably ending up with an 11.
Dorman, what about Indiana? Are the Hoosiers in trouble at the moment?
Yes. The Hoosiers need to stockpile some wins here. Like I mentioned earlier, they had Wisconsin on the ropes at home, dominated the first 35 minutes, and then fell asleep. The next game's in Ohio State. That would really help the situation here. I think the Big Ten strength is helping Indiana here, but that Big Ten schedule is doable down the road here. At Ohio State's tough. They got to beat Maryland, Minnesota, and Rutgers at home, and then it's Purdue on the road for the final. But Indiana, to me, is still in. I got them ahead of teams like Wake Forest, and they just have done a little more.
All right. Let's go to the 12 line, and we are only four at-large teams left, so we're going to go to our first four. And then we're going to reveal the first of our higher rated of the two first four bracket teams first. It is coming up there in the South region, and it is a BYU-Oregon game, Tytel. Now, I will stress, this was voted on before Oregon did something, is in the process of doing something tonight that will make them ineligible for the NCAA tournament, as they're getting blown out at Arizona State as we record this.
Thank God, because that would not be a pretty game based on today. I think that there is always a 12-5 upset, it seems. I don't think this is going to be the one because Alabama can beat anybody, it seems like, from last year's Final Four. And the Ducks can't beat anybody, and BYU has been trending in the wrong direction, mostly with the at-Pacific loss, which is so inexcusable. It's almost enough to put them out of the field. But, I think that it'll be a nice West Coast thing, but I think either team gets slaughtered by the Tide.
Yeah, and honestly, Rocco, Oregon loses this game tonight. They'll have been swept by Arizona State. They'll have home losses to Colorado and Cal.
But in Michigan.
And those game wins at UCLA and USC were not true road wins because they're empty buildings.
Empty buildings, yeah. they could have been in the middle of Iowa. Oregon playing awful the last two performances. They might actually have to come in here and get a win on Saturday, which doesn't even seem possible right now. And BYU, like John said, they're really hurting. And Traore got hurt the last game, too. We'll see if he comes back on Saturday, but they're big underdogs on Saturday anyway at St. Mary's. So, yeah, I mean, BYU is going to be holding on for dear life, I think, down the stretch. Luckily, they get LMU and Pepperdine at home to finish up.
Griggs, you want to give us 2 seconds on why you thought Oregon was a 9 seed, or should we just move on? Were you wrong?
I mean, after the spectacular evening they've been having, I'm inclined to think that maybe they should be slightly lower than a 9.
Yeah, maybe a 9 in the NIT or something. let me figure out where we're going. We're going to the East region for our last two teams that made the field. This will be Michigan State's first round opponent, and is the winner of a game between San Diego State and the Memphis Tigers cracking the field. Dorman, did we get it right?
We got the San Diego State part right.
Okay.
It's close. It's tight. I think San Diego State has done enough. I think the strength of these tier one wins at San Francisco. I'm sorry. The home games to Colorado State and St. Mary's at home. The losses aren't terrible. Anything there is not going to knock them out. The worst one I'm seeing is a Boise State. And they're going to get Boise State again this weekend or early next week. San Diego State has got to win some of these games on the road. They have 4 really important road games. They got to come away with at least 2 victories. Memphis on the other side. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say on the Memphis side of things, do you want to comment on them or you want me to go to somebody? Tytel, what about you? What do you think on this Memphis pick?
So my history with Memphis this year is well documented. I was driving the bandwagon a few months ago, and then we crashed and burned, and I gave up on them. And of course, like the second I do, they come back and beat Houston on the road by double digits. Like, I don't care if they win the conference. I'm not picking them to win a game in the tournament because they've screwed me twice already this year.
Obviously, if we are going to leave one or more of these first 4 teams out, such as Oregon and or Memphis, we've got to put somebody else in. And I think, Rocco, that's the thing is a problem now because the bubble is just looks so this such garbage. Let me show you the top 4 teams out. Is there a case that you want to make for any of them? Kansas State, Oklahoma, Michigan, North Carolina.
I think Michigan's the easy answer. They've got a monster road win at Iowa, another road win against a team in the field for the Wolverines. I had them in last Friday, then they lost to Ohio State. I'll have them probably back in tomorrow, pretty clear on that at this point. I do also think, who are the other 3? Yeah, Kansas State's making their way up, but you can't put them in yet. I don't think they've done enough.
Can we pull up Kansas State?
Okay, yeah. But Belmont wasn't even on that top 4 out list. We'll get to them in a second here. But
I love this Kansas State team. They're playing great,
but they did some bad stuff earlier in the year.
Okay, let's pull up both Kansas State and Oklahoma because I actually want to start with Oklahoma before we even get to Kansas State.
Okay.
My problem with Oklahoma is 14-12 overall. Is that not a problem?
It is, but when you're – okay, it's a problem. But when you're comparing them to some of the teams that we took and you look at some of the 12 losses and you count up the number of those that were against – teams on the top 2 lines, 5 losses against teams on the top 2 lines. By bubble standards, I just don't think that that's much of a knock. And at least they've done something. Like we took a couple teams that really haven't done anything. And
great Griggs, their best win is at West Virginia, who's not going to be in this field. It hasn't even been mentioned yet. But
You don't think beating Arkansas on a neutral floor?
Their best road win. I'm sorry. Their best road win was at West Virginia. Kansas State, on the other hand, won at Texas, won at Iowa State, won at TCU.
I had this Kansas State team on the nine line. They're close to 500 in conference. Their losses are, again, against protected seeds, many of them away from home. And they've won at TCU, at Iowa State, at Texas, beat Texas Tech at home. Like, to put that next to San Diego State, it's not even close. And I think that, I mean, you're the one, Chad, and well, all of you that are always telling me, well, you can't look at the record. You can't get wrapped up in the overall record. Well, what other knock is there on K-State other than that? And when you look at that, those losses, those are losses that no bubble team would win.
Well,
a lot of them.
But little tight tell, we just lost Rocco. He had to run. I think he got thrown out of the McHale Center there for the comments about the Jack Daniels or something. But Tytel, what about this argument here? Oh, I think you had Oklahoma actually in and Kansas State out.
I do, for a couple of reasons. Number one, like, I understand that Oklahoma has a tier three loss. Like, if you want to use that to ding them, that's fine. If you want to argue road wins, I agree. Kansas State has the edge there. So it's a fair point. I just think Oklahoma's got three solid wins. I don't know why Iowa State's a tier two. Hopefully it'll get bumped up to a tier one soon. They've beaten them head to head once. But it's kind of a toss up. I get it.
Okay. And what about North Carolina, Tytel, while I'm with you? They're coming off of something that they didn't have all season. They finally have it. They have a bad loss now, losing a home game to Pitt. Should they still be on this board?
I mean, David's favorite team. I mean, I think that the way I'd put it is that, like, the Pitt loss probably takes them off, but even if it doesn't, like, there's no way they'd beat Rutgers tomorrow.
No way.
Or Kansas State. Or Belmont, yeah.
The other teams considered, real quick, we mentioned Belmont there on that list. SMU, Florida, Dayton, VCU, and West Virginia all at least got votes to be in the top 55, not necessarily in the field. Dorman, is there anybody else in here that you think really is close at this point of these six here?
No, it's Kansas State for me. If there's one that if one has to go in, I'm with Kansas State on this. But no, I'm pretty good with what we selected there. I don't think when you look at those teams and people are still yelling, Rutgers should be out, not necessarily on this platform, but others. Rutgers has done so much more than any of these teams that are on the last few in and these top 10 out. It's not even close. I don't understand the people that are screaming Rutgers is out, because these teams have done nothing compared to Rutgers. They've all shown they can lose. I get the loss to Lafayette. It doesn't look good. They all have bad losses. I don't care about that. Who can you beat teams in this tournament? Rutgers has. These teams have not.
I agree with you, Dorman. I actually had Rutgers in the top half of my bracket. I had them a lot higher than we had them, but I still think they should be out simply because they're Chad's favorite.
The other two 12 seeds, these are auto bid winners, and they were below the first four, were Iona and North Texas. North Texas at least got enough love that they were close to being above the first four, but were not above the first four. But they're two very dangerous teams. Houston, North Texas, a very interesting game there. Ohio State, Iona will be a very interesting game as well. I'm going to quickly go through the rest of the field, though, before we go to our final thoughts. The 13 line, these are UCLA will get New Mexico State. Illinois, Chattanooga coming off a loss tonight. That wasn't factored in. Texas gets Ohio, and Tennessee gets South Dakota State. The 14 line, Wisconsin gets Yale. Villanova gets Vermont. Providence gets Wagner, and Duke gets Towson, the new leader in the Colonial after they beat Wilmington tonight.
Good win tonight, yeah.
15 line, Texas Tech gets Montana State. Baylor gets Texas State, an all-Texas battle there in Fort Worth. Kentucky gets Long Beach. Purdue gets Liberty.
The beach!
The 16 line, Gonzaga gets the winner of a Cleveland State-Colgate game. Auburn gets Norfolk State. Arizona gets the winner of that Battle of Louisiana between Southern and New Orleans. Kansas gets the Longwood Lancers.
Longwood with a nice road win tonight. Norfolk State above the first four.
Longwood, the team that Tubby Smith coached against in his final game last two nights ago before he announced his retirement. But on that note, we've got the entire bracket up. I want to run through each of you for any other thoughts on anything. could be this bracket, could be anything else. Dorman, why don't I start with you?
This tournament is wide open. I think there's about 25, 26 teams that are Final Four good, and there's 10 to 12 that are championship good if they get the right draw and they get hot at the right time. We're in for a fantastic March. Again, it's not on the sheets anymore how you've done in your last 10 or 12. The committee has told us that, but the committee is made up of human beings, and humans just relate to what they have seen last is in their head. Teams that are about to get hot and make a move are going to get in the, they're going to be on the good side of the committee. It's very important to finish strong for these teams, especially on the bubble, if you want to get in, because the committee remembers, because this is what you did last. Every data point matters, but what you did last is stuck in their minds.
Very good. Mike?
Well, with the Super Bowl now behind us, now that the spotlight should be almost solely on college basketball, Olympics notwithstanding. And you know, the thing I really appreciate about college basketball is that no matter whether you're in a big conference or a small conference, you've got a chance to win it all. It's not like football where it's like it just seems like the teams from the big conferences, you know, have a chance and the others don't. College basketball is like, you know, even if you have a crappy regular season, you win the conference tournament, you're in. And it's, you know, we're headed toward the best time of the year, in my opinion.
I agree completely. Tytel.
My final thought on the bracket is just some of the amazing matchups. You get Arizona, Kentucky, which is a rematch of the glorious 97 title game. You get Gonzaga, UCLA, which is a matchup of last year's Final Four game, which is one of the greatest ever. A lot of great matchups here. And a shame that Auburn has to face Baylor in San Antonio. Good luck, Bruce Pearl. As far as my final thought, not on the bracket, I don't know if Chad has my screenshot. There we go. So that is Doug Bruno. And for those who are not familiar, he was recently elected to the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame earlier this week. He played for Hall of Famer Ray Meyer at DePaul like 50 years ago. And then in 78, as head coach of the Chicago Hustle in the Women's Professional Basketball League, he won the very first women's pro basketball game in the U.S. Since becoming coach at his alma mater in the late 80s, all he's done is make 24 NCAA tournaments. He's won regular season titles in four different conferences. And in his spare time, he won a pair of Olympic gold medals as an assistant with Team USA. I got to interview him in 2020. Super nice guy. So congrats, Doug, on this tremendous honor.
Absolutely. Wow, that's awesome.
Great stuff.
Griggs, you want to finish us off here? I'll bring the bracket back up.
Basically, I was kind of with the bracket most of the way. I was kind of surprised because I don't think I was off by more than one seed line with very many of them. But the ones that I'm
except Oregon.
Oregon is one. I had Rutgers in case, well, Rutgers a lot higher in K-State in, actually pretty far in. But all in all, I think like the season is shaping up. I just don't know. If the tournament started today or today was Selection Sunday, I get the feeling that there wouldn't really be too many surprises. I'm not the selection committee guessing expert that Tytel or Rocco are, but I don't know. You kind of have a sense of how this is going, and it's pretty clear who is in line for a one seed, a protected seed, who's getting in on the first ballot, and who's on the bubble.
Yeah, I think the thing you've got to remember here is there will probably be a few bid thieves. Yeah. By the end of the day. So if San Diego State and Memphis are our last two teams in, they may not even make the field today because you know you could have an upset in the American tournament. You could have upset in the A-10 tournament, an upset in
Ohio
the,
Valley, yeah.
In the Ohio Valley tournament that puts Belmont and Murray State both in. So they're you got to keep that in mind here as we move forward. But on that note, on behalf of – let's get everyone else back up to the screen here. On behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman up here, Mike Cha, David Griggs below us, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, who is with us for most of the show. I think he's getting thrown out of the McHale Center right now as we go. But thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will talk to you again real soon.